like to start reading in Romans, Epistle to the Romans, chapter 3, Romans 3 and verse 10. According as it is written, there is not a righteous man, not even one. And then in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, and verse 14, but after John was delivered up, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has drawn nigh. Repent and believe in the glad tidings. Second epistle to Timothy, chapter 1. And from verse 9, is speaking of God, who has saved us and has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages of time, but has been made manifest now by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has annulled death and brought to light life and incorruptibility by the glad tidings. I've been thinking of the deep meaning of the gospel. And the best way to speak about it is to be as simple as possible. You remember that Jonah had to be sent to preach to a city. He didn't deliver a very positive message, rather the opposite. And yet he was, as far as I reckon by numbers of converted person, he was the best preacher. He got them all converted, right from the king to the last, to this lower level person. I wish I was able to do that. But Jonah started, we'll leave aside his story, he wasn't a very easy man. But anyway, leaving aside all that happened and getting the positive side of his preaching, he started with the right point. There is none that is righteous. I mean, he was preaching the judgment of God. Now, we are all wrong. We are not righteous. And that is something that perhaps one would say, well, once you are a believer, you know that. But it's very good to be reminded that one is not righteous. The scripture is very clear. It says there is not even one. So you can't be righteous. I can't be righteous. So that brings about God's solution to the problem. You know, if you stop considering that you and I are not righteous, the outcome of that is that we need to be condemned. And also that we are not functioning as we should. If you take something that has gone wrong, it doesn't work as it should. So it's with the creature. God made a perfect creature in his work. But he gave the creature understanding. And with that understanding that God gave the creature decided to believe the lie of Satan rather than the truth of God. It's very sobering. That's why we are not righteous. Because we have inherited that kind of nature. You know, when you have children, they very often show your bad signs, and is very searching for a father to find that out. You see something there that you know is in here. And so you say, well, it has passed on. You wished it hadn't. But we have inherited that sinful nature. Disobedience to God, believing a lie rather than the truth that God has pronounced. And God had given everything to man. Beautiful garden, beautiful situation of life. Man didn't need to work. Everything was working perfectly. And yet, he wasn't satisfied with all that. So is my heart never satisfied. It's very searching. I wish that each one of us, those who are still wondering about their pathway, but those who are believers as well, particularly referring to our dear young ones, we may really ponder in our hearts what we are before God. Not even one. It's very searching. Another verse, I was wondering whether to read it or not, but says that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God, which is equally true, of course. But I think this strikes our hearts, because we like to think that very often you think, well, I'm not very good, but I might be better than the other one. But there is nothing like that in God's ways. What God has in mind is that you and I are not righteous. And therefore, we need his work, his plan, to get us right. And what is right? What is right is according to God's purpose and God's mind. It's not the law of the country. It's not rules that we can have that are needed, of course, to live. I'm not going against any of that, but it's not all that that makes us right. Even if you obey the speed limit, it doesn't make you right before God. It makes you right in performing the rule, but it's not the righteousness before God. The righteousness before God is to accept the preaching that the Lord Jesus did here. He started by saying something to these people. I know he was addressing himself to Jews, but the Lord says something very searching. He says, the kingdom that he preached the glad tidings of the kingdom of God and said the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is drawn nigh. Now, imagine these people who were used to knowing God and doing things according to what God had ordered, having a person, the Lord Jesus, who got to them and said that the kingdom of God is drawn nigh. I don't know what they understood. I don't think I would have understood myself a lot about that. But anyway, the meaning of it was that God was going to administrate things in order that he was near to them. They knew him as that God was far. They were afraid of God. They had a dreadful fear because they understood they were not right and they didn't know how to approach him. So they were really happy they had somebody like Moses or Joshua or the priest that could do something about that. But now the kingdom of God had come near to them. And it was in order to put into operation God's plan of salvation. And this time is fulfilled now, dear friends. You know, is the time that you can put your faith in the Lord Jesus. You don't need to do anything at all to get right. On your own efforts, on your own money, on your own thoughts, how can I get better? That's not the idea. The idea is to believe on the Lord Jesus. And so the Lord puts it very, very simply. Repent and believe in the glad tidings. Now, for our young ones, repent means that you know that you are wrong. You know that you have done something that shouldn't be done. You know that you need the pardon, the forgiveness, of the Lord Jesus. That is what repent means. It's a very simple, we all know that, because as children we often have disobeyed, well, at least I have disobeyed my parents, and then I had to repent of that, because I was aware of having done it. And this is the same thing for a sinner before God. Very often the Lord Jesus uses children as an example, because a child has instinctive reactions that show really what is simple before the Lord and is needed, that they may be an example for each one. Repent and believe in the glad tidings. Now, the Lord Jesus was presenting the glad tidings himself. He was the perfect preacher, the one that could really get into the souls of each one of his listeners. He could do that. He could have changed everything in one moment. But the presentation of the exercise of repenting and believing is there. He doesn't say in me there. He says in the glad tidings. It's the news that comes from God. It's a communication. Now, saying that reminds me that it is important to notice that we are reading this in the Word of God. Are you aware that the Word of God is addressed to you personally? Is the way God has chosen to speak to your heart is not through somebody, through a minister or through the preacher. Is God speaking in this book? Because it has been inspired by the Holy Spirit, and what is said there is what God has in mind for us. I can encourage my younger brethren that there are passages of Scripture that have been obscure to me for a long time, and there are still some, a few. But with the help of the Holy Spirit and praying, you will get light. And you will find that as you become older, you find more and more the meaning of Scripture for your heart. This is God speaking to you. The glad tidings are contained here. They are not only about your salvation, they are about much more in your life, in your relations with God. So, we started off with the negative side of it. That all of us are not right. But the positive side, on God's side, is that the Lord Jesus introduced this wonderful message, the time is fulfilled. Now, you know, when I say that the time is fulfilled now, I mean that the dispensation is acting in grace at the moment. And this is the time to believe. There will be soon a time in which all this will be closed. And the offer, gracious offer of God, will be closed. Because things proceed according to his plans. But I want to speak of what is present. At the present moment, you can give your heart to the Lord Jesus. and you can believe on him. You can believe in the glad tidings, but you can believe straight in the Lord Jesus, on the Lord Jesus himself as a person. You know, he was on the cross for you and for me. He bled, as we sang in the hymn, for you and for me. He suffered all sort of opposition and scorn. He who could have stopped everything in one moment, he suffered patiently all that in order to fulfill the will of God, in order that you and I might be saved. This is the offer of the Lord Jesus for you. So if you haven't done so yet, give your heart to the Lord. Believe on him. Accept his work for you. Acknowledge that you are a sinner. You have to repent and you have to accept his grace. Once you do that, you change completely your outlook, your view. Yes. Because the Lord not only saves you, but gives you the understanding of the way that is open to you. You know, when the Lord presented himself to the disciples risen, they could remember him dead on the cross and the dead in the sepulchre. But then they had him alive again amongst them. And that was the outlook they had. It wasn't the Lord crucified, it was the Lord risen, to be followed in life. That is why I read in Timothy. Because speaking of God, he says that he has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, the holy calling, the calling couldn't but be holy, because it's the calling of God. So, the holy God is calling unrighteous persons to grace. This is the simplicity of the gospel, but sometimes it's so simple that we don't, well, at least I speak for myself, we don't fathom the depth of it. And this is what I would like to impress particularly always on our dear young ones, that there is something there in the gospel that is God's purpose for you. Purpose before the ages, but expressed through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is really what the gospel is about. He's a living person now. He was dead. Do you know he was God? And he took a human body, exactly like ours, apart from sin. He never sinned. He never thought something evil, something wrong. He was perfect. He was the righteous one. But what is really important is that he has offered himself in order that we might become righteous before God. So Paul is expressing this to Timothy. He says that God has called us. He reminds him that it's not according to our works, nothing to do with us. It's his grace and purpose, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus and has been made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, This is the Lord Jesus, seen as our Savior, Savior of our souls, Savior for us in a practical way, day by day. When you believe in the Lord, you become his own property, and the Lord will see to protect you and to save you day by day in your pathway. What do you need to be saved for? Well, there are many things. Many things around us that are quite evident. We spoke even in the reading of what is against God, which surrounds us all the time. And we need to be saved from all that. And is the Savior for eternity, but is the daily Savior in our lives. And then he says that he has annulled death and brought to light life and incorruptibility. Now, this is a very important point. The death of the Lord Jesus can never be separated from his resurrection. He annulled death because he went into it and came out of it. He really overcame death in that way. He came out of it of his own power. He said, I lay down my life, and I take it up again. So, life has been brought to light. That is in your own soul. It's a personal thing. I mean, obviously, we are quite aware whether a person is alive or dead. That is true. But light, bringing to light life, means that you know what life is in your own heart. It's the life that the Lord gives. It's the life that he has conquered for us, and he gives it to you. I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Have you ever heard a doctor that speaks of a life, abundant life? Life, abundant life is what the Lord gives to you, and that is in your own heart. And then there is the incorruptibility. That means that all that is corruptible in us will be turned and changed into what is incorruptible. And that is the effect, practical effect of the glad tidings. We are not incorruptible now, but will be turned like that in a very short time. That will be, the apostle teaches a lot about that, how will be turned, what is corruptible is turned into what is incorruptible. And that will be equal or adapt to the presence of God. God can't bear what is incorruptible, but what is corruptible, but he wants in his presence what has been changed into incorruptible. So the effect is present in the salvation of our souls, is future in the incorruptibility and in what is the life before God. So may you really be encouraged in looking into the simplicity of the gospel. You know, I think Paul speaks, it's the same in your version, I think he speaks of the mystery of the gospel. In a way, it's so mysterious because it's so simple. You just need to accept that you are a sinner, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you have salvation. Who could think of such a simple plan? But it's so deep plan that it gets into your soul and produces an answer, produces a change that will really be effective in God's eyes. What has been saved by the Lord is precious to God. This is offered to you tonight. We don't know when the scene will be closed, but the Lord is available for your heart. May you believe on Him, and may you really be filled with the impression of the life that the Lord is giving you, for His name's sake.
Amen.